Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
How many of you perhaps are experiencing lack, not having quite enough? Yeah, I think all of us have times where we're lacking in something. And Titus is a very, it's a short book, or it's actually a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, who was working with Paul and just found out that the island of Crete, where he was left, is an island you can visit today. It's a beautiful island, and it's a fair-sized island as well. It's like 250 or so kilometers long. It's about 50 kilometers wide. And so Titus had the task of setting up churches on this island. It says, for this reason, this is Titus 1:5, it says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. So it's interesting to set up the things that are lacking, and there's instruction being given to us regarding our lives when there's a lack. So last week, if you weren't here this last week, we started this series, When Things Are Lacking. You can check it out and catch that first one. I'm not going to go over it. But it's interesting. There's more than 10 different suggestions when there's lack in your life. So check it out, or maybe listen to it again and begin to apply that in your lives. There's a continuation, and I want to jump to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, and I'm going to refer back to these five or six verses as we go through this chapter. And again, I'm not sure I'm going to get finished, or we'll finish it, but we'll try. So Titus 2:11 says this: for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What is grace? Okay, so I heard some say, grace is unmerited favor. It means it's favor that you don't deserve, that I don't deserve. That's what grace is. So it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation, and I want to say this, it's not just salvation when we first come to the Lord, it's also salvation for today. So you may not need salvation, or you say, I've been saved and I'm saved, but the Lord is saying to us that salvation is for today as well, the different things that we're going through. And the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And we'll get into a little bit of that as we go through, because some of these words come up again and again. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ may come. For Brenda's sister came, it was this morning or yesterday, this morning, just before 1 o'clock, this early this afternoon, there was this appearing to your sister. What was her name? Joanne. And so there's this hope and the reality of Jesus being our Savior, even when facing death, even in death, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. And so some of you might say, man, I'm struggling with different things in my life, and I'm struggling with things that would cause me to be defiled. And so he's saying, I want to help you to redeem us from lawless deeds and purify us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works, that there would be actions about us that are changing, or that we, because we've changed and we're submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's changes in us. How many of you would say, I've changed since I got saved? Okay, all of you have changed since you got saved. How many of you have changed in the last year? Okay, most of you are putting your hands up. How many of you have changed in the last few months? Okay, a number of you have putting up your hands. This is exactly what I'm talking about, is the grace, the unmerited favor to us to have changes take place in our life. And the Lord wants to make those changes that we would become more and more like Jesus. Now, in chapter 2, and we're going to refer, like I say, another two times at least, around this passage. And there's this summary of the fact that God's grace is available to you when there's changes that need to be made in your life. And because there may be lack in your life, there's a lacking in your life because of things that haven't changed yet and that should change. And as a result, sometimes those things cause for there to be a lack in our life. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Things that are solid. Things that are good. Doctrines are ways that we should live, or things that we should grab hold of, teaching and instruction that we should grab a hold of. Now listen, let me ask you some questions. I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think about it. Where do you get your advice from? Where are you getting your advice from? Where do you go for advice? And who do you listen to? Who do you go to? Now, I know. I know you can give me, hey, pastor, I'll tell you what you want to hear. But when it comes down to it, where do you go? Where do you go? Who do you listen to? What do you listen to? What are you listening to? Forget about asking for advice. What do you listen? What do you spend time listening to? It's a question. I want you to think about some of these things. I want to say, the older that I get, the more that I've lived life, the more I recognize, and let me speak this from experience, because we have a whole range of individuals here tonight. We have those that are younger, and we have those that are older. And so this is wisdom for the young and the old. And I'm going to start more so with the older folk. But listen up. We need to stand on the Word of God. And there's some distractions. I'm being distracted here tonight. Can I have some of you folk move forward, please? Because you're distracting me. Sorry. The moms and that can stay there. No worries. I need for you to listen. I need to stand on the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word of God. How important is the Word? How important is the Word of God? Now, can somebody tell me or give me some scriptures that would indicate the importance of the Word of God? Okay, it gives us strength in the times that we need it. What scriptures or things that come to mind right away, Jeff? So we oftentimes, when we read through Scripture, and that answer is right on. This is what I'm looking for, this proof of the power of God. So here we have Jesus being tempted by Satan, and Jesus answers and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The importance of the Word of God. And so we stand on the Word of God. Now, the interesting thing is, does anybody know how John, the Gospel according to John, starts out in chapter 1? All right, so you got it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus is the Word. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld him full of grace and truth. The Word. So the Word of God is critical when we're lacking in our lives, when things aren't the way they should be. There's a 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So there's a lot of people that say, you know what? I don't believe in Genesis, the first 11 chapters. I just believe that that's allegorical. It's not literal. Don't take Genesis 1 to 11 literally. This is, you might just say, well, it's all about creation. Genesis means about creation. That's what Genesis means. New life. And some would say, you know what? No, this is the planet is not that young. We've been around, man has been around for millions of years or hundreds of thousands of years. And it's like, well, is the Word of God true or not? So if that's the case, you can figure out roughly how old the world is just by going through the genealogy that's given in Luke chapter 3. Because it goes all the way from Jesus, who appeared on this planet 2,024 years ago. And you can go all the way back, all 73 different generations, right back to Adam. Now, I figured, I calculated, if the Earth is 6,004 years old, and I subtract the 2024, and I go from Jesus back to that time, basically, each generation, the average is around 52 years. Each generation. And that's for those that lived a lot longer. But it's from the time of the birth of their son or daughter where they're going by. This planet, the Word of God is truth. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I like what it says in Isaiah 55. I put the whole chapter down. If you have a chance, read Isaiah 55. I like how it starts off. It's like, it starts off with basically, hey, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. Listen. Come to me. Listen. And I like how it goes on. Again, read the whole chapter. But it says, For my thoughts, verse 8, Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. The word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God. As we would hear the word of God, you know what? So often, the only word that we hear may be on a Sunday when we come. Are you taking time to read the Word of God on your own? Take time. I love the apps that they have now to get you to read through the Bible in a year. They are so good. And so the one that I've gone through this year, and I think I might do it again next year, is basically the chronological, where the Old and New Testament are being done chronologically. So interesting. So the different passages that line up, whether it's the prophets that are being spoken of in 1st or 2nd Kings or in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, well, those prophets are the major and minor prophets that we have for the last section of the Old Testament. And it's so cool to be able to say, you know what, to read through the entire Bible in 1 year, from beginning to end, chronologically. I just say, thank you, Lord. The word to us, to listen, that you guys, that we would not just say, you know what, I get the word of God from Pastor Dave on a Sunday morning or here tonight on a Wednesday night, that you would say, no, I want to take. Like, how many of you are okay just eating twice a week? How many of you just only ate? It's Wednesday, and you only ate two meals. So you're okay. Is that something you do by choice, or is it something that is being put on you? Yeah, I know. So part of it is I think all of us, I know there's times where we say, I'm going to fast. But there's other times where it's not just fasting. It's like, okay, I can't eat or whatever because of whatever reason. It's like, man, after a day or two or three without eating or 4 days without eating, I know there's a period where you just, now it becomes a mental thing. You get past the hunger pangs and whatever, and you get, now it becomes just a mental thing. But we eat. We eat every day. Jeff. Yeah, bringing our body under subjection, that I that we would not be controlled by anything. We shouldn't be controlled by anything. Some of us, we sometimes our body, we just say, you know what, I need this now. I need to have my caffeine. I need my coffee in the morning. And so we crave that coffee. But to bring our body under subjection, to say, you know what, I'm not going to just let do whatever. I'm going to bring it under subjection. Things that are not good for me. So this, the thing of eating the word, says, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar or thorns shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And basically, some of this is talking also about the fact that when we hear the word, his thoughts and his ways that are so far beyond us, and we just grab a hold of the Lord, is that there's a rejoicing that takes place in our life. And even in the times of lacking, that we're able to continue on. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We don't deserve it, but the Lord is saying, hey, I want to bless you. I want to bless you to bring salvation even today in the things that we're going through. Hallelujah. All right, so getting to Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Not just anything we hear, but the teaching and instruction that is from God. And so the amazing thing is that Paul is writing, and this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, giving instruction now. So listen carefully, all right? Now this is, it says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. So sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in patience. Sound means solid, stable, in faith, in love, and in patience. So some of these words you might say, well, what do they actually mean? I'll just quickly go over. Sober. It means to be, actually it's surprising, it has to do with actually abstaining from wine, either entirely or at least from its immoderate use, of things free from all wine as vessels and offerings, to be sober. I think there's nothing more devastating to have an older man that is drunk. And the devastation, like it's one thing, it's like, when did this start? When did it start? And so even to the Christians, so this is not just believers, it is, or unbelievers, it's for Christians that older men should be sober. What happens to the a person's mind and thinking when they're not sober? Okay, you're being too intellectual. Yeah, just straight up. You lose inhibitions. What else? Sometimes they're aggressive. What else? They may be emotional. They may be withdrawn. What about their actual thinking capability? They have a hard time thinking rationally, thinking properly, because they're inebriated, they're drunk, they're intoxicated. So, older men, be sober. Be irreverent. So be reverent, or that your character of who you are is honorable, and also not just who you are, but your deeds are honorable. To be reverent, has this meaning of who you are in your character and also in your deeds. To be temperate. Does anybody know what temperate means? Temperance? Self-control. It's to curb one's desires and impulses, to be self-controlled, be temperate. It says, sound in faith. You know what I'm going to say when I say, what should your faith be in? Not just Jesus Christ. Again, what should your faith be in? Paul says, I was determined you would know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is where your faith needs to be in, sound in faith. Because some people don't know what their faith is supposed to be in. God? Church? Paul says, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You want salvation today? Where is your faith in? So he's saying to older men, you should be at this point in your life, and even if you came to the Lord at a later stage in your life, grab a hold of this. I'm going to be sound and solid in my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. Your faith, there's so many people that their faith is in their religion or in their church denomination. I don't need to listen to what God has to say because I am, and they'll just say what denomination that they stand on. This church cannot save you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say, for God so loved the world that He gave you the Lighthouse Church. That if you believe in the Lighthouse Church, Lighthouse Niagara, you will be saved. You will have eternal life. It doesn't say that. And yet there are people that's how they go. Yes. John 14, verse 6. So this thing of there is only one way, and it is not through, and we're going to have a membership acceptance this Sunday coming up. People are saying, hey, we want to make this our church. Membership at a church does not save you. In fact, one of the things that we did at our membership seminar on Saturday morning was this. I asked every single one three questions. Is that right, Logan? That's right. You were there. I asked each one, I said, have you given or have you sinned in your life? Would you acknowledge that you were a sinner? And went through every single person. The second question I asked, I said, do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that He died for you, that He rose again, taking your consequences, your sin upon Himself so you can have salvation. Do you believe that? And I went through each one. Ask each person. The same thing about receiving Christ in your life. Have you received Jesus into your life as Lord? You've allowed Him to come into your life. And ask each person, yes, yes, yes. All, I think 12 or 13 said yes. The church doesn't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ to take care of your sins. It says sound in faith, sound in love. And this is that love that God has for us, that we have for Him, that we have for our fellow man, that goes beyond emotion or feelings. We're not talking about some emotion. We're talking about love that is a choice. Because there's times where you say, you know what? Man, this individual just, I struggle being around a certain person or whatever. And part of it is, you know what? I choose to love them. It has nothing to do with feelings or emotions. It's a choice that I make. That's the kind of love that God would have us have this, and it is the word agape. So the love also that we have, even for the sinner, for the lost, to choose to love. Sound or solid in patience. How many of you need patience? Yeah, I'm with you. There's times where I get upset. And so I have to, Lord, give me patience, that I would be sound in patience, that I'd be a patient individual. The other meaning for patience, it goes beyond this thing of what we would consider patience. It actually means also steadfast or constant endurance. So patience in this, it has a slightly different meaning than I need patience with others. It has to do with being solid. It has to do with not being swayed this way or that way. I'm solid in patience or in my endurance, in my perseverance. So there's an enduring, sustaining perseverance. I'm solid. Now again, you say, man, I don't know if I could do those things. And this is where I come back to that verse. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So the grace of God to say, I want to help you. I want to help you in your life. And for the older men, myself, I'm gonna put myself in that category compared to you guys that are here today. I'm getting older. But for I just say, thank you, Lord, for your grace to me, to help me for today, and to help through the day. Because there's many times where it's like, oh man, I need your help, Lord. I need your help. And the Lord is there to sustain me and to give me this endurance. I just say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. The Holy Spirit is there to help us. I thank God for the Spirit of God that works through the cross. I want to read this. Galatians 5:16. And this is where we may be struggling. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this Spirit is an uppercase S. I don't know if that's up there. Okay, they're all uppercase. So this one is an uppercase S. Walk in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So our flesh is contrary to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you create your own law, I'm saved by keeping the law, you will find yourself not making it. The law showed us that we can't keep the law. We can't keep it. And if I do pull a Ray Comfort, how many of you have lied in your life? Okay? How many of you have stolen something, even if it's a small thing? How many of you have used the Lord's name in vain, like OMG or whatever it may be? I'm surprised how many Christians say, you know, they use the name of the Lord in vain. Sometimes it's like even in prayer, they'll say, you know, in the name of Jesus, but I don't really believe it. I don't know if Jesus can do it. I don't think he can do it. But we just go through the motions. Using his name in vain. The last one, what's the last one that Ray Comfort always uses? Some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. But I like his approach when it comes to bringing others to Christ. He says, how many of you have ever lusted after a woman or a man and just even the thoughts. I would say most of us have lusted after someone that is not, that we're not married to. That's just 4 out of 10. And I can go through the rest of them and we say, oh my goodness, I've broken every single one. So how many of you, if you're standing before God Almighty and he's going through and saying, these are the charges against you, how many of you would be found guilty? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. This is where Jesus came, and because of who he is and what he did for us on the cross, as our faith is there, he's like a parachute in a plane that's going to crash. I'm going to take a parachute, and I'm going to jump, depending on the parachute, to save me. We depend on Jesus to save us from our sins. Our flesh, to make a law, I'm going to make a law, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just doing good works. Maybe it's coming to church on a Wednesday night. Maybe it's reading the word. Maybe it's prayer. Well, Lord, I'm going to pray more because I'm struggling. Or I'm going to read the word more. I say to you, no, check where your faith is. Your faith, let it be in Jesus Christ. Look what the word says here. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. So if you are going by your flesh, this is what's going to happen. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The practice. I'm trying to be a good person, and the harder I try, the worse it gets. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control or temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against those things. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's an uppercase S there, not my spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me. And these things are coming to my aid, to help me. Against such there is no law. Now, there's an expanding of this. And those who are Christ have done what? What does it say? Keep going. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What happened to Jesus as his flesh was crucified? What happened to Jesus after 6 hours on the cross? What happened? He died. The flesh part of Jesus, his spirit and his soul, did not die. He was fully cognizant, just like you and I will be fully aware. When we die, we are fully aware. It doesn't end. In the moment that we die and take our last breath, it says it's appointed unto man who wants to die, and then the judgment. And at that moment, there's a judgment that takes place that either we're going to be with God in heaven or we're not. And it's all around where our faith is in. It was his flesh that died on the cross. It's our flesh that needs to die daily. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How many times do you crucify your flesh? Daily. Deny yourself, your own law, making your own laws, your own whatever, deny even our own righteousness, because our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. So we're going to go and we're going to believe, not in our own righteousness, we're going to believe in the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So my faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified daily. Daily I take up the cross. So you say, how do I crucify my flesh? How I do it is by faith. So daily, when I give When I wake up in the morning, I acknowledge Jesus' death for me. I say, I acknowledge his name, Jesus Christ, and him crucified for me. When I get up in the morning, Jesus, not only do I acknowledge that, but let your name and your sacrifice for me be great in my life today. Every day when I wake up. And so the old man, the old nature is crucified. So we don't have issues. If your flesh is dead, you're not going to have issues with all of these different things. You're not going to have issue with sexual sins. You're not going to have issues with idolatry and even to the point of sorcery when it comes to drugs or certain things that we know. To overcome, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And here's what happens. It says, if we live in the Spirit, if we're alive in the Spirit, you're born again, you're alive in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So daily now I'm walking in the Spirit rather than in my own capabilities because my faith is in the right thing. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What happens when you become conceited? I can do this on my own. I don't need Jesus. I can do this on my own. And then we start to provoke one another, or we're envious of others. I want to have what they have. And I just say, thank you, Lord, for the older men and even for the younger men. Let me just say this for you young men out there. Learn from the mistakes of those that have gone before you or that are older. Learn from their mistakes. Why should you make the same mistakes? Or if somebody is telling, the Word of God is saying, hey, grab a hold of this, listen to this, grab a hold of it, listen to it, apply it in your life. Can we stand? I want to pray with you regarding this, and I want to read it again. This is Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that brings salvation for you today has appeared to all men. It's available to you, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And we can, by that grace, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, not afraid for his coming. Like, oh man, am I ready? I hope I'm ready. I'm not sure if I'm ready. It's like, no. My faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm ready. Who gave himself for us on a cross 2,000 years ago, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Man, I want to do what is right before the Lord. So this is what I would say to you. Grab a hold of these things because the Lord wants to bless you. So let's just bow our heads at this time. Lord, I just thank you. Father, your grace, the grace of God that is available to all of us, that brings salvation, Lord, to us. Lord, to change us. And Lord, even as there was an ask here tonight of, hey, have you changed in the last year? And everybody put up their hand. I've changed. I've been changing in the last 6 months, in the last 2 months. The Lord is changing me, and I recognize it's not just me, but it's the power of God available to me by the Holy Spirit as my faith stays in the right thing and the one that died for me so I could have life, that I can have forgiveness. Lord, I just pray now at this time, Lord, that we will walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. In you and what you did for us. Deny ourselves, Lord, and our own capabilities, our own righteousness. Take up the cross daily and follow you. Lord, easily to follow you. You want to lead us in ways that are a blessing for us, and not just us, but those that are around us. Lord, I just pray this for each and every one tonight. I pray this for each and every one tonight, Lord. Let there be a flourishing. Lord, this desire to do good works, to do zealous, to be zealous of good works, of good actions, good speech, good attitudes, good emotions, and fruitfulness in our life, Lord, good fruit. All happening, Lord, because we are saved and the Spirit of God lives within us. And if we're alive in the Spirit, that each step we take, that we would also walk in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, not our own wisdom, not in our own efforts, not in our own disciplines, but we walk in the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to us and available for us each and every day. Lord, I just pray that. Lord, I just pray that it would not just be for us, but Lord, I pray that it would extend past us, that it would extend to those that are around us, that there would be truly rivers of living water flowing from us to bring life wherever that river goes, even as they would hear about Jesus. Lord, that there would be life that would come to them, Lord, as we've seen miraculously, Lord, after 17 years. Cheryl has come to you. We thank you and we praise you. Lord, after decades of living apart from you, Lord, John has come to know you. Lord, on Saturday, he came to know you. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the salvation that's available that we can bring and offer to others, Lord, to impact other people's lives. Let us do it. Lord, I pray a covering over each and every one. Lord, I pray the power and the wisdom of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God would overflow, would not just be in within their vessel and their body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, but that there would be an overflow of your Spirit moving from us, flowing from us, to touch those that we would come in contact with, Lord. I just pray this, that there would be the experience again and again of touching other people's lives as we do the things that you would have us do at this time, and not in our own strength, but in the power of your Spirit, by the grace of God that's extended to us through Jesus Christ. Let it be. Thank you for my dear brothers and sisters here tonight, those that are watching online and will watch online. I just thank you for them. Lord, speak into their heart and life now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.